This is on Drive.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the Drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The Drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the Drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
We appreciate you tuning in this morning as our NBA draft coverage continues. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Dave and Katie. Nate is on vacation. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival coming October 22nd, 23rd. Discovery Park, Tool Slayer, Event Sevenfold, and more. Tickets on sale now. For more info, go to aftershockconcert.com. Before we get to the phones, Katie, some quick draft grades. We'll start with Fox Sports. Now, just to update you in case you missed it, Yorgis Papayannis.
Okay.
18-year-old, 7'2" center out of Greece. Averaged about 10 minutes a game last year, 5 points and a couple of boards.
Right.
That was the pick at number 13 via a trade with Phoenix. Don't forget, earlier in the day, Marco Bellinelli traded to Charlotte for the number 22 pick, which turned out to be Malachi Richardson, shooting guard from Syracuse. Had some heroics, you might remember, in the NCAA tournament. Scott LaBissiere, the center from Kentucky, rated number two. Two coming out of high school. Here's a stat for you, Katie. Scott LaBissiere. Boy, Scott Moak's going to have some issues this year.
Scal, whatever. We're going to learn these names.
he is the lowest top two in the ESPN 100 high school rated high school players coming into college. He was ranked top two going to Kentucky. The lowest drafted since Samardo Samuels in 2010. We all remember Samardo.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, guess what? I read up on him.
Uh-huh.
Supposed to be a really great shooter, great shot blocker. It's just a young kid that needs
young
some time
kid
to develop.
So Isaiah we'll Cousins was their final pick at 59, shooting guard out of Oklahoma. You may also remember him from the NCAA draft. Here's what Fox Sports had to say. They gave the Kings a C-. Quote, this was a directionless draft for a directionless organization. Yes, Richardson and LaBissiere could develop into serviceable NBA players, and Richardson could even one day be a star, but that's 3 or 4 years down the road. With DeMarcus Cousins closing in on 26 years old, Sacramento doesn't have 3 or 4 more years to waste waiting for everyone else around Boogie to develop. If I were Cousins, I'd walk into the owner's office and demand a trade tomorrow. From USA Today, the pick, Papayannis, number 13. Grade C, quote, Papayannis likely could have been had later in the draft, but the Kings weren't willing to miss their opportunity to grab the 7'2", 240-pounder. He can't teach size, but in the case of the Kings, Papayannis could potentially clog the lane with DeMarcus Cousins' interior game. It's the second straight year they've taken a center in the lottery. As far as the number 22, Malachi Richardson, there's a B there. He can pull up from the perimeter or put the ball on the floor. He has some upside for the Kings. And LaBissiere taking number 28 with the former Phoenix pick. That's a B-. Some projected him as a lottery pick, but he underwhelmed this past season, a long-term project for Sacramento.
Let's just say this real fast. You were talking about the centers that they brought in.
Yes.
I think you were talking about Papayannis and that they said, oh, he could potentially clog the lane.
Yes.
I just want to point out that last year, before we saw Willie Cauley-Stein and looked at it, it's like, oh, there's like a center. Like, oh, my goodness, why would they do that? So on and so forth. Guess what? Willie Cauley-Stein is one of those players that whether or not he's, you know, considered a center, he can play either position. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all because he's mobile, he can defend, and he started to show an offensive game. So he's a little bit different than Papayannis in this sense, is that he is mobile, quick, runs the floor. Papayannis is supposed to be a little bit slower. Again, I don't think he's 18. I don't think he's grown into his body.
Sports Illustrated gives the Kings a D. Quote, thank you to the Kings for reminding the world that this draft features a player named Papayannis. Thank you to the Kings for giving us an excuse to tell the world that Papi Giannis, his father, is a Twitter user who spent the last 6 months harassing random sports writers about Dragan Bender. I can't even believe this. Free Boogie. The Kings are so Kings in 2016, no one can even prepare for how Kings they're going to be. Papi Giannis could absolutely pan out and make all these reactions look stupid, including DeMarcus Cousins. But given some of the other rumors circulating Sacramento this week, it's hard to give the Kings the benefit of the doubt. They did grab Malachi Richardson at 22. Not a fan of Richardson. This is Sports Illustrated here. And Scott LaBissiere a few years away at best. My head tells me to feel bad for Sacramento fans after all this, but my heart really is just really excited to see where Boogie Cousins ends up in the next 8 months.
Well, let's hear what some of the fans have to say.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Chris, you're on the drive.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for holding for so long. We appreciate it.
Yes.
No problem. I had to get it in today. So I was, like you guys said, everybody's scratching their head on this pick. I get that everybody was gone by the 8th. I was glad they traded down to the 13th. I thought they were going to take either Denzel or Wade Baldwin.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because now we got the 28th, which we could have gotten whoever we just drafted there.
Exactly.
But now our team situation is we don't have a point guard. We traded Marco for that other pick.
Bogdanovich, yep.
Yeah, our shooting guard position is useless. We got a forward that we don't know what's going to go on after next year on this contract year, and then now we got a super high emotion Boogie. Now what is Vladdy's view on our whole team next season? Are we going to be just another 30-win team or less, or what's going
on? Well, here's the thing, Chris, and I understand everything you're saying, and so to respond to a couple of the points you made with the shoot. So again, I've said it earlier, Dave, I have no problem with these picks if you change your approach to free agency, because you have not addressed a couple glaring position, like where you have glaring deficiencies at the point guard and the shooting guard right now. You do not know what's going to happen. You need to address that. Yet still what we're hearing, you know, down the vine here is that they're still targeting Ryan Anderson. So I have a problem with that. Right?
Yep.
You need to change your approach to some things. So that is kind of the one thing for me that's like, okay, we can talk about the draft. The draft is done. We'll analyze it. We'll look at it. We don't understand it. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. But you have to change your approach. And in terms of Bogdanovich, okay, all right, you got to listen to what Vlade said. Vlade said, okay, we don't really have a pick next year. So we know that Bogdanovich is not going to come this year. We're looking at next year. So there's a first-round pick that we're taking, first-round pick last year for
Phoenix.
Late
20s, I think 27.
Yeah, so it was 27th for Phoenix last year. So, okay, we've got a European shooter that I think he called one of the best players in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Okay, so you're giving him another year in Europe. He's going to be that first-round pick for you, where it's that 27th pick a year ago, maybe turns into a couple years later, really like a lottery type.
Well, there's
pick.
Certainly
yeah.
Bright sides if
yes.
Everybody works out.
Yes, but that's if. That's if.
There's
I understand
a lot of
that.
Ifs. Like I said, you can draft a kicker in the first round of your fantasy football league and still win the league. Doesn't mean it was a good pick. Chris, we're just going to run through a lot of these calls because a lot of people want to sound off. So we're going to run through these as quick as possible and give the time to you guys. We've been yammering enough. Chris in Pleasanton, you're on the drive.
Yeah, hi, guys. Here's another thing about the thing that's perplexing to me. I know it's not the number one thing you think about when you're doing a draft, but there is a factor in terms of the impact you're going to have on your players and the fans. I mean, we heard a lot like, you know, the Kings want to make a splash going into the new arena. So if anything, you're looking to make somebody that generates excitement. This is the polar opposite of that. I bet you 90% of the people calling into the radio show this today are doing what we're doing right now. It's scratching their heads. It's like he didn't factor. And in terms of Cousins, it's almost predictable he would have reacted the way he did. It's like they didn't factor that in.
Well, Chris, my only response to you, because I know we want to move through these calls, and I agree with you, but here's the response that the nagging voice in the back of my head, Chris. You know who caused a lot of excitement amongst fans? Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah.
We were real excited about him.
And I'll say this in terms of what Chris said about hearing the organization say they want to make a splash going into the new arena. Guess what? That was from the business side of things. I'm telling you right now, because I don't care what the organization has set up to this point. Vlade Divac is not going to be swayed by anything. He's not going to say, oh, we're going into the new arena. I need to make sure that no, he's looking at a long-term plan. And if you look at it, this Kings organization, one of the biggest mistakes they've made over the last several years is short-term planning. Short-term planning, and it hasn't worked out.
Well, you can be certain that's the case, and that is actually a very good thing. Number one, next year is pretty much completely sold out. There's single-game tickets and some packages, but they're not going to worry about filling the arena next year, number one. Number two, if they were trying to do something heading into the new arena and get all smarmy-marmy on us, they would have drafted Marquise Chris from Sacramento, and then they would have gone out and signed Ryan Anderson from Sacramento. We would have had a big love fest. Mm-hmm. By the way, the last time the Sacramento Kings passed up a lottery pick from Sacramento, it was Kenny Smith for some guy who became the mayor. So just if Marquise Chris is going to probably be the mayor here in about 15 years. So congratulations, Mayor Chris. Julian, you're on KHDK.
Hey, man. I'll try to go quick.
No, take your time. The floor is yours, brother.
Okay. Well, I'm very disappointed. And I think one of the things that's happening is we're trying to figure out what Vlade is doing in almost like a war shark test. Where you're looking at the ink blots and you're trying to look at what's happening. The truth of the matter is, I think it's clear that the front office doesn't know what they're doing. If you trade from 8 to 13, five slots, and all you get is a prospect from Europe that hasn't played yet, that's a problem right off the top. I was concerned when I'm watching the draft, why would you move from 8 to 13 without having Brandon Knight or somebody in the deal that's going to help your team win now?
Right.
Secondarily, okay, fine. You had 13. Wade Baldwin's on the board. Maybe you select him. Maybe you take Denzel Valentine out of Michigan State. Or the guy that I really liked was a freshman point guard out of Washington. All right. Now you have a 13, 22. You got the 28. Take the point guard at 13, and then you try to build your team the rest of the go. At 13, you take a dude out of Greece that does not average 8 points and 8 rebounds a game. If you look at his scouting, he was 3.5, 3.6.
Yeah.
And it was like 8 point whatever. So overall, this guy doesn't average 10 points a game.
He averaged 5.5 points and 2.5 boards last year and about 10 minutes a game in the EuroLeague.
Yeah, wasn't even the best player on the junior team.
So what I'm saying is he's in the top 30. This guy doesn't average 10 points and 8 rebounds a game. He is a 7'2". He's not an athletic big. We're in a quicker NBA, and your best player plays center, and the dude you drafted last year was a center and is a good player. Mm-hmm. That pick right there was what I would go so far to say is malpractice almost. And you got to be kidding me. Well, then you follow up with two more bigs, and at 27, the point guard that you could have taken at 13 is still on the board.
Right.
You take Scal Labissiere. Project, prospects, nothing wrong with that if you've already addressed your backcourt that's an absolute mess. You do none of that.
I hear you.
The Spurs take him at 28. I guarantee you we will be saying in years going forward we should have taken him as he's ripping up the league in a Spurs uniform. You talk about free agents. Free agents, Vlade needs to talk to free agents, whatever.
You're talking about the Spurs taking Murray at 29, right?
Yeah, I'd say Murray, yeah.
I'm saying they're taking Murray at 28.
That 29. The Spurs. 29. Sorry, yeah, 29.
Spurs
okay.
took him at 29. Kings should have taken him at 28.
Yeah,
right.
Okay,
but they didn't. So here's another thing. So as an agent, if you've got a player, why would you want them to come to a workplace that's directionless, has no vision, and is crazy all the time?
That is a challenge that this organization is facing. I absolutely.
This is the DMC's fault. If DMC wants to say, Lord, help me, give me strength, I want to give him props and he didn't say more.
Yeah.
Vlade Divac, Vivek Ranadive, they don't know what they're doing. There isn't any evidence that they know. Last year, you trade away players to get cap space to sign players that you never signed. And you have this pick swap with Philly. Who does that? That doesn't make sense. Why in the world would you trade down to 13, take a dude that's not in the top 30 that wouldn't get drafted anyway that nobody has on their board?
Mm-hmm.
Julian, appreciate the call.
Yeah.
339-1140.
Calling in from Grand Rapids, Michigan, by the way.
1-800. A lot of stuff he said there. A lot of stuff he said there. And I'd say about 92% of it, we share the same brain.
Yep.
We share the absolute same brain. David, you're on the drive.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, look, like everybody else, this is just, it's total ineptness at its highest form, but there is a couple things that do stick out. One of them is, and this is something maybe you guys talked about yesterday during the draft, but with Bogdanovich and, I'm sorry, the Papagiannis. Yeah. See, with Bogdanovich, what they've basically done, not only did they set himself up for the future, but think about it. We basically unloaded Marco's contract, so we cleared up a lot of cap space, and we don't have to replace that by the Bogdanovich draft pick. So we've essentially cleared what that first round pick would have been $3 or $4 million a year plus Bellinelli's six or eight.
Yeah.
So and essentially we cleared up more cap space to sign a free agent during the offseason. That's one thing I look. Now if Papandreou or whatever wouldn't have come either, then that would have been even more cap space that they would have been able to keep. They're supposedly he's coming. So that's one thing I'm looking at. The other is I am kind of happy about Cousins. I think that he might pan out to be a pretty solid player. He's super athletic. He's kind of a machine down, you know, kind of a player that's got a lot of grit, and I like him. But we passed up a hell of a lot of good players that we could have taken that made more sense. And the other thing that sticks out too, and this is something that Ron Odive said from the beginning, is that he really wanted to make the Kings a global basketball idea. And that's exactly kind of the path they're going. However, you can't go global if there's too much risk when you don't have that opportunity. I mean,
yeah, you don't just go global and draft European players, foreign players just to do it. You want to take the best available regardless. I see what you're saying there.
I also see on the text line, too, and I completely understand this. We talked about this earlier in the show, or people are also a little bit frustrated. There's both sides, and both sides, you know, we're going in order on the phone call, so we're not just doing the negative ones or the people that have issues with the draft. But I see on the text line throughout the day where people are, and we said this earlier, Katie, hey, we didn't know who the hell pre-drag Stojakovic was. We didn't know who Hidiot Turkoglu was. We didn't know who these guys are. So what are all you geniuses knocking out Papagiannis? Here's what I would say back to you, because I was part of the crowd that wanted John Wallace out of Syracuse. I was at Arco when we were chanting, Wallace, Wallace, and we ended up getting Peja, and everyone was booing the hell out of Jeff
Petry.
And
now his number's in the rafters.
And now his number's in the rafters. And this was a kid that was drafted in 1996 at 18 years old and didn't even come over for a few years.
One of the best drafts of all time, by the way.
Here's the difference. When Peja Stojakovic was 18 years old, he was playing in the Greek top league, and he averaged in his final year 23.9 points, 4.9 boards, 2.5 assists, and 1.2 steals per game.
Yeah.
Per game in the Greek league, and then 21 points, 4 points.
At 18. Yes.
We're talking about a guy who's 18 years old.
I see what you're
on
doing
a team
there.
That already has two bigs that you're building around that average 5 points and 2 boards and 10 minutes left. He couldn't even get off the bench in Greece. Are you kidding?
I was going to say the same thing, Dave. You took it out the words out of my mouth. He does the same thing. He averaged 14 points.
He was the Turkish Michael
way
Jordan.
Way higher than this guy.
Yeah.
They called him the Turkish Michael Jordan.
Way higher than this guy.
We knew who he was. Now, again, Vlade might be a genius. This guy may end up being in the rafters, too, or who knows? Maybe he's getting traded somewhere. It's an incomplete grade until we get to day one, but did you spend, was that 13th pick valued correctly? And are you filling needs on this ball club as it stands right now with the roster the way it is? No, you're not. Ken in Stockton, you're on with Katie Christensen.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
First of all, Dave, I would love to have heard the audio after you clicked off last night with Grant. Because I'm sure it was a heck of a lot different. Probably more like Deadpool after they stole his girlfriend.
Guess what?
Okay?
Guess what, Ken?
Yeah.
I did not. We had our work thread going, texting about the show. Dave was silent for hours. I didn't hear from him. I didn't talk to him. Nothing. So
because he couldn't be around him. Are you kidding? He's yelling and screaming and kicking the door. And look, man, I followed you forever. Okay, since the beginning when you used to call in and everything. And one of the things that you said today, and other things that I picked up on, is quit trying to tell us they're smarter than we are. Okay, I don't want to hear that. D'Alessandro, same thing. Okay, it's like you know, we're so stupid and we're so clueless and you're so smart. No, man, basketball is not a difficult game to figure out. It's a difficult game to play, okay, and coordinate with people. And so what really gets me is like all the, you know, we as fans spend, and I do, thousands and thousands of dollars, okay? We are the investment. You know, I go there for the experience of enjoying the game. So does my family. And when stuff comes out like this, and DeMarcus does his little tweet, and yes, okay, I want him to be honest. But Katie, if you look fat in a dress, do you want somebody telling you you look fat?
So you know what? It's interesting. Actually, I do want someone telling me I look fat. But hey,
you know what I'm saying? DeMarcus is not helping. It doesn't help. All it does is infuriate the fan base. Dave, you know what I'm talking about, man. You were a fan before you were on the air.
I'm still a fan. I'm still more of a fan than a journalist. So, you know that. I'm not a freaking journalist, Ken. I'm speaking from my heart when it comes to DeMarcus. You know what DeMarcus isn't doing? He's not going in front of three microphones and saying, I'm so done.
So, Ken, I
want out.
This is a good point that you bring up because during the break, our producer asked me, Jay, repeat the question so that we can talk to Ken about this. And I'm going to give my honest answer that I gave off air. I'm going to give it on air.
I basically asked you, as a player, you are an ex-professional player. If you were DeMarcus Cousins right now,
the franchise player,
your career, if you were the guy of a team and you had been in the league for 6 years, knowing what you've known now because of your injuries and things of that nature, would you wake up this morning, seeing what happened, seeing the guys being drafted in your position, seeing what happened last year, all the things you've been through, what would you do this morning right now as DeMarcus Cousins in your position, meaning Katie Christensen?
Putting on my play, and I'm being completely 100% honest, as a player that is the level of talent of a DeMarcus Cousins, if that were me, I would walk into the front office this morning and I would say, trade me. Get me out of here. I've given you a ton of my time. I've been a two-time all-star for you. I do not feel that you have made the right decisions to put people around me. It's been a rough ride. I've been a part of the problem, but I've stuck with you. I've stuck with this fan base. I've stuck with this community, and I just do not have faith that you get it. And I would say I want to trade right now. So you can be upset about DeMarcus's tweet, but guess what? The national media is saying it. Any other player in this situation would say it. Get me out of here.
Ken?
I totally agree with you. Katie, I totally agree with you. Okay? But I don't need him to come out and say that. Yeah, go do that. You know, go there. But don't put it out there to just infuriate everyone.
Ken, am I correct in saying what you are saying is you don't have a problem with DeMarcus's sentiment, or at least perceived sentiment. Who knows? By the way, maybe DeMarcus was trying to bench a new record at the gym, and that's why he was saying, Lord, give me the strength. But what I think you're saying, Ken, and it's very fair, is you don't have a problem if DeMarcus went berserk, but pick up the phone or fly up to Sacramento and go into management and do it privately rather than put it out on social media. Is that am I correct?
Yes. Yes. Because I'm with them. I'm with them. Okay. Because, you know, something's got to break. Because, you know, every time that the fan base is like, okay, we've got this, we have that, something happens, you know, right after it to just destroy our faith, you know, and a lot of people have come back to the Kings, like myself, back to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about the new arena. I'm going to love the new arena, but that's not why I came back. It's expensive to go to the new arena. I came back to watch the Kings grow and get better over time. The same way I did when I used to sit in my house with my purple hat on, because that's the only color you could buy. And all I had was Richmond for three. I used to have to wear my earphones when I went to my bowling because I couldn't see the Kings on TV because they were never on TV. So I had to listen to them on my headset while I was bowling. So, you know, just stop drinking. It's not the Kool-Aid, okay? It's not the purple Kool-Aid, dude. It's the purple drink.
Hey, Ken.
Okay?
Hey, Ken.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Appreciate your call.
Hey, we got to go. But, hey, you know I love you, right? Ken.
Good.
Thanks for calling, Ken.
That's why we're here, guys.
Seriously.
Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. It's your opinions are not going to be filtered. This is your time to sound off. This is Kingsaholics 101, or Kingsaholics Anonymous, excuse me, or 101. And that's really what we're trying to accomplish today. We've been analyzing all morning long, and this is where I think radio is at its best. People need to gather as fans and just vent or defend, whichever way you want to go. We're not going to knock you one way or the other. We'll continue just what we're doing right now and taking your phone calls. And one line just opened up, so go ahead and fill it. We'll get to you, Brian, Gordon, Robert, and Rick at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Top of next segment. We're right back. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. .339-1140 lines filled right now. Be patient. We'll run this through the rest of the show as we're taking your phone calls on yesterday's draft. Join KHDK for 2016 USA Rugby. The Summer Series is Saturday starting at 7. Bonnie Field, watch Team USA. Oh, I'm sorry, that's USA. Take on Russia.
You're so used to butchering people's names today.
If you arrive early, stop by the KHDK tent to win passes to see the legend of Tarzan. Can you do the Tarzan call? Probably not. Purchase match tickets at BonnieField.com.
You know what I can do?
What?
Shark!
You can do the shark. Later on in the program, we'll give you two tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. Stay tuned for that. That'll come up in the next segment. Back to the phone lines. Longest hold. Thank you so much. Rick's been on hold for 25 minutes. And, Rick, I know you got a busy day. We really do appreciate you getting your voice out here. The floor is yours.
Hi, guys. I guess I'm calling because I'm embarrassed at this point to be a Kings fan. I'm tired of hearing about how terrible your front office does things. But I would ask this question. Did we draft for need or did we draft for the best player available? I think it's neither. I couldn't figure the whole thing out. I want to have hope, but I just don't get it.
You know, Rick, I think that's a very good question that you pose. The reality of the situation is, and we kind of alluded to it earlier, I don't know that we have a big problem with the entire draft. I think the one pick that is putting this cloud over the entire draft class is the pick of Papagiannis at 13. That is the one that really has people scratching their head, and it's making it difficult to grasp the overall plan in terms of what the Kings were thinking, because this is a guy that, Dave, you talked about earlier, was you know, ranked in the 40s.
Yeah, averaged out. Draft Express had him low at 22. I saw others as high as late 40s, early 50s, projected by many to be second round or late first round. He averaged in the low 40s, high 30s.
Yeah, and so that is the one pick that I think is skewing the entire thing. I think that when you look at the rest of it, and Bogdanović, who is part of that trade, yeah, he's going to be here next year. I don't have a huge problem with that in terms of the fact that you're going to get somebody that is supposed to be a very, very adept shooter next season when you don't really have draft picks, that he's going to be coming over from Europe to play next season. But we had a caller, and I can't remember who it was earlier because we've had so many today, but he said something about, okay, why didn't we, in that trade with Phoenix, include someone that would help us right now as well, like a Brandon Knight, so on and so forth. And there's all kinds of stuff in Phoenix with Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe. And I will say this, the one thing I am super happy about is that Eric Bledsoe is not here, because I don't think that's the answer either. But I do understand, like, okay, why wasn't there something packaged that will help you address needs that you need right now?
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Gordon, you're on The Drive.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
All right, talk to you later.
We need something now. And, you know, if it's the picks were for the future, okay, but you need something fixed right now, right today, you know.
Now I have a question for you, Gordon. Do you think that, okay, they didn't do it in the draft? Do you have faith that they're going to be able to address it during free agency?
Yeah, that's a $1 million question, because you have to hope that, you know, Vlade pulls the trigger on something in free agency. And, you know, Kings fans, we're frustrated. So, you know, I mean, I am. I'm sure many other ours too. But you need something to fix right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people are looking to the future about it. So,
well, and here, you know, here's the – if you want to go – if you want to try to defend this, here's what you would say. Vlade Divac took – dead weight and Marco Bellinelli, who didn't want to be here.
You know what? Best move of the entire day yesterday is that Marco is not here, and I have nothing against him as a person.
He didn't want to be here, and he wasn't good here.
He didn't. He just...
So you took him in his new contract,
abysmal here.
And you moved him for a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. You turned the 8 into 2 first-round picks.
Right.
That's all great. And what Vlade has done now is he's gotten out of that. He's gotten four if you count Bogdanovich,
yeah,
who's coming over, we assume, the year after next. He's turned that into 3 prospects and given himself some pieces and some depth. So that would be the bright side of the whole thing. That would be the defense. I think the big issue everyone has, nobody has an issue with Labissiere at 28. That could be a steal.
Yes.
Nobody has an issue with Malachi Richardson at 22. That's fine too. That honestly, what it all boils down to, the difference between this being this reaction out of all of us or many of us and the opposite, a phenomenal, is Denzel Valentine, for example, it's drafting
Baldwin,
Papayannis, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And way earlier than anyone other than, it seems like, our front office thought he should be drafted.
And Dave, and I'll be the first to say it, and I understand fans' point of views and everything. I'm not an expert in the draft room. I don't know the inner workings. I don't like the pick necessarily, but I can readily admit, like, hey, maybe there's something that they know that I don't know. My one issue with this whole thing is if everything we are hearing is correct, that they're targeting as a number one target during the free agency period, Ryan Anderson, I might lose my mind because I cannot. Something about that reasoning just, it doesn't make sense in my head, because not only is he going to demand a ton of money, but he's a player that is not addressing, especially after the draft picks that you have accumulated during this draft, he's not addressing the areas that you need.
Yes.
And he's a one-way player, period.
Yes.
End of sentence.
That's
so
100%
correct. It's like, okay, I might feel better about this once free agency unfolds and they prove me wrong.
And on top of that, ask yourself this question, Katie, and it's tough when you're dealing with an 18-year-old prospect, but we talked about this earlier. Had everything that happened last night been the same today, but instead of drafting Papayannis, they'd move that pick for Jeff Teague. Mm-hmm. We'd be hitting each other with silly string today.
And if Papayannis comes over here, which is every indication that he is coming, if he comes over here as a 13 pick in the 2016 draft and ends up playing and spending a ton of time in Reno, it's going to blow my mind.
Brian, you're on the... You're on the drive. Stop that, Katie. You're killing me. Brian.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. Hey.
So I listen to you guys every day. Just want to give you a shout out for that.
Thank you, Brian. Shout out to you, buddy.
Diehard Kings fan, man. And I'm just going to go ahead and give my boy Vlade Divac a shout out, too, because I'm going to defend him.
Okay.
And Vlad, we trust.
Why? No. And I'm with you. I'm not defending that at all. By the way, I was in my Vlade Divac jersey last night.
He was.
I really was. But Brian, I'm not being snarky here. I'm saying you trust in Vlade, but please expand on that as to what you saw bright side wise.
Okay, so we're unsure about the point guard position right now, not knowing if we're going to sign Rondo or if Collison's gone or whatever. So he got a point guard. We don't know about DeMarcus Cousins and if he wants out, right? So what did he do? He got a center. Rudy Gay comes through and admits that this is the worst season of his career. So what did he do? He got a shooter. So I think that even though we might not have got a big superstar, I feel like we did decent across the board.
So are you okay with the 13 pick?
No, I mean, I feel like he could have got him later.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, we got something for next year with no draft picks.
What about the beginning of the day, Brian? Or what about lunchtime?
Brian, ignore him. Ignore him. If you listen every day, you don't take any offense to his little...
I'm half crazy right now, and I'm sleep deprived. Brian, thank you for the call, and thank you so much for the kind words. We'll take a break. Alan, Gilbert, Robert, Derek, we'll get to as many of you as we can in the final segment next, and also Toyota Save Mart 350 tickets for this weekend coming up. It's Drive at Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, final segment. Love the song. I actually think this should be the song we end with every day. I was thinking about that over the weekend. It's weird you're playing it, Jay. I love this song. Two tickets. Toyota Save Mart, 350 to the 11th caller at 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. You also get pre-race pit passes and access to the driver's meeting. Purchase tickets at SonomaRaceway.com. You asked me why I was laughing during the break, Katie. Yeah. I told you I'd tell you when we're on the air. Well, it appears that there's breaking news in regards to DeMarcus Cousins' outburst last night. According to the Undefeateds, I almost said Yahoo Sports, Mark J. Spears. DeMarcus Cousins told the Undefeated his draft night tweet had nothing to do with the draft. So what was it about? Quote, a hot sculpting class, Cousins said jokingly.
You know what? I think all of us need a little bit of humor today. You might be
at
the top of the list. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Okay. All right.
Oh boy, I got a buddy who just tweeted this out. Point guards recently, the Kings have had the opportunity to draft Brandon Knight, Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, Alfred Payton, Emmanuel Mudiay, Wade Baldwin IV. It's also one missing from there. It's Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. I was going to say there's one glaring one, but hey, guess what? A lot of teams missed on him, too.
That's true. Gilbert, you're on the drive. Hey, Gil.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's sure nice to know that there are other folks that love the Kings this early in the morning in the world. It makes the world a lot better place to be. There was a call earlier that came in and called and said he was embarrassed to be a Kings fan. Well, I played basketball, street ball all over California all my life. I just had eye surgery last year from an old injury, almost lost an eye. Slashed to the paint. So I'm still playing basketball. I'm getting back on the court again. And I just want to say I moved away from Sacramento. I'm raised here from preschool on, college. Moved away for about 6 years. I was in San Diego. And embarrassing is when you have to go to a bar or a sports bar because there's no Kings game on cable. You ask for the Kings game, they're like, who? Then you get a table way out in the back, all by yourself, away from the bar, because there's no way they're going to put the Kings game on in the bar or in the main area. Mm. And I'm sitting there by myself. That was embarrassing. That was years ago. That was 10 years ago, almost 8 years ago. Now I'm not embarrassed. DeMarcus Cousins is amazing as far as a street ball player and a basketball player. What DeMarcus said was at least a drop in a bucket of what that man has a right to say. And, boy, you guys, I had my breath held because when you broke the news and was going to say something, I didn't know if I was going to anything to say.
We appreciate it. And thank you for the backstory, Gilbert. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's go to Derek in Long Beach. Derek, you're on the drive.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Buddy.
Man, so I mean, a lot of things, bro. Honestly, I'm trying to make sense of this. I'm trying to make myself feel better. I would have been really, really happy I'm really, really happy with all the other picks. It would have almost been a home run if we would have took a Denzel or even a Wade Baldwin, maybe. But in Vlade's defense, Wade did come work out for us. Maybe he seen something that we didn't.
It's true.
He is very turnover prone. That's not what we needed. Denzel is also a liability on defense. I don't know, man. I'm just that's the only thing I can think of that's trying to make sense of this. As far as for the future, I'm not really sure. Maybe we drafted DeMarcus's future. I'm trying to make sense of this.
You know what, Derek? I'll say this to you in agreement with what you just said. We may look back at this draft in a few years and be like, guess what? Actually a good job, because when you look at the guys we've been mentioning in terms of Valentine and Baldwin, we might look back and say, okay, it's a good thing they didn't take them because they were busts. Time will tell. But right now, we're questioning.
You know, the last time a point guard with a last name of the fourth came out in the draft and everybody wanted it was A.C. Law the fourth, and that didn't work out too well. Okay,
you and your random.
I'm just telling you. He did change his name. He was A.C. Law the fourth in the draft, and he was a bust. So maybe let's name all-time great fourths.
Oh, stop
it. They're like Richard or Henry. Hey, Alan.
Hey, good morning. Real quick, I think it's a little early to judge this. It is sort of a WTF. But I'm going to temper my responses until after July 15 to see what shakes out in free agency. After all, we are a fan base that was, some people were excited about Jimmer Fredette and Thomas Robinson being drafted.
Dave was among those. Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
So who knows what? I'd almost rather have three guys that I've never heard of, and that I have no expectations of, than somebody who's been hyped up through college, et cetera. I mean, I'm sure I play. I don't play basketball in my backyard, but if I did, I'd be a lot better than if I was in the NBA. So I think the comparison is not the same. So,
Alan,
fans, we've got to have faith.
Alan, July 15th falls on a Friday. On Monday the 18th, we want to hear from you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Monday, July 18th. Make an appointment in your phone.
There has been a lot of criticism of Vlade Divac in the front office, and I've tried to separate Vlade, the person that I love and the king that I love and have worshipped for years, and call him Jim Smith, the GM, and I think that's how he'd want. And I think Vlade knew he'd get criticism today, and I don't think he cared.
I guarantee you he doesn't.
There is one thing that I truly believe about Vlade Divac. I believe that he is doing what he believes is in the best interest of this ball club. And as a lifelong Kings fan, I think I speak for the entire fan base when we are all like DeMarcus Cousins, putting our hands together and praying that he is 100% correct. That's why he gets paid, and he will be judged on results, and I think that's completely fair. And if it works out and it's good, guess what? I'll be the first guy, you'll be the first girl with everybody else saying, good for you, Vlade. Yep. Sorry for doubting you, buddy. And by the way, Vlade Divac has never missed on a lottery pick. He's one for one. He is. Great, great feedback today from all of you. We thank you for using this show and us as sounding boards to...
And Dave thanks you for helping him with his therapy this morning. He started the show very disgruntled. And guess what? I asked him at the last break, how do you feel? He says, I feel a little bit better now.
It's very true. There's nothing that makes me feel better or at least more comfortable than talking to fellow fans and getting a little bit of therapy. That therapy will continue today with the lowdown with Damian, Jason, and Ken, and then Grant Napier this afternoon. So there you go. Our thanks to Jay for always running everything behind the scenes. Nate, you don't get thanks because you're gone. And Katie Christensen for being you.
I thank you.
You're welcome. All right, that's it. We'll see you Monday, 6 a.m. Stay tuned to KHDK all day long right here on Sports 1140. Hey, KHDK.